Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your CLABS conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If you need operator assistance, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Hillary Jalon. Ms. Jalon, you may begin.
Thanks, Jen. Welcome, everyone. We're really glad that you can attend this conference call with us. We know it's the end of the summer, and we're really happy that you could all join. We actually got a good turnout here, and we sent you a few materials ahead of time, which I'm just going to really briefly go through the agenda, and then we'll get into the meat of it. First, we just want to give you a little bit on what the format of these calls are like, since this is your first call as the new members of the CLABS Collaborative. It is a muted line, so we can't hear what you're saying, but we do open it up quite often throughout the call to have a question and answer session and comments from you. So the operator will give you instructions on how to unmute yourself when we're ready to do that. So we just wanted to let you know that right now it is muted. We are really focusing this call on data collection activities again. Most of you probably went to the August 3rd kickoff meeting, which was held at Greater New York Hospital Association. And we provided you an overview with the data collection tools, with the algorithm for reporting central lines and bloodstream infections. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And Brian Cole, he's the director of infection control at Beth Israel Medical Center and has been the clinical consultant on this initiative, is with us, and he'll be providing a little bit more information on that. I should also mention Rachel Block from the United Hospital Fund is also on the line. Unfortunately, Terry Straub from Greater New York Hospital Association couldn't be with us today, but she will be on our next call with this group. So we'll go again through data collection, and then after that, we'll open it up to some questions. And in the email that we sent to you, we asked you some specific questions because we know a lot of you are already collecting this kind of data. And the questions we asked you is who right now at your institution collects this data? How often are the CLAB infections collected? And are you actually using these data to make improvements and reduce your CLAB infection rates? And if so, how are you using them? And finally, are you reporting any of these kinds of results to your leadership at your hospital? So keep those in the back of your mind after we hear from Brian. And then after we talk about data collection, we're just going to go through with you, again, some of the data collection forms and give you an example of how to use the monthly team report, which is due to us also on September 20th, along with the baseline data. We did send you an example along with the email as well. And finally, then we'll just go over a couple of new additions in the Jenny website and give you your login information to Jenny, as you know that you we did set up logins for you. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Cole. We did send the algorithm to you again, which was also given to you at the August 3rd meeting. And Brian's just going to go through that a little bit again, and then we're just going to open up the floor for the group.
All right, welcome everybody. In terms of data collection activities, in terms of defining a central line associated bloodstream infection, in many cases what we found during the first phase of this initiative, it's not as easy as it sounds. And the algorithm that was developed is based on the CDC definitions that are used in the NHSN, or National Healthcare Safety Network system. And what's very important is that we have to use these definitions, one, to ensure the integrity of our data so that we know that each hospital is collecting the information in the same way. And the other thing that I'd like to point out is that these are the definitions that ultimately will be used for the public reporting system that will start in New York State January of 2007. So the first thing that everyone needs to get a handle on, if you go first to the algorithm, is what is a central line. the first thing that everyone should realize that a central line is a vascular infusion device that terminates at or close to the heart or one of the great vessels. So in terms of great vessels, to the left of the page, great vessels include the aorta, pulmonary artery, superior and inferior vena cava, brachiocephalic veins, internal jugular veins, subclavian, external iliac, and common femoral veins. In neonates, an umbilical artery or vein would count as a great vessel. On the right-hand side, in the upper box, what we try to do is give a list of what actually constitutes a central line if any of these lines terminate in the great vessels. So implantable ports, triple lumen catheters, Swan-Ganz catheters, a Broviac, a Gershon, a Quinton, Hickman, a PIC line, an umbilical line, a dialysis catheter, a permanent shunt, a Quinton, or a tunneled hemodialysis catheter. Things that are not central lines. Pacemaker wires are not central lines. And really, anything else that would go into the great vessels that's used, that's a non-infusion device, would not be considered a central line. And really, again, the thing to remember is where these lines end, not where they begin. And don't fixate so much necessarily on the type of the device, except where they end. And I was going through some of the definitions from the National Healthcare Safety Network system. The other thing that's really just added in here that I haven't mentioned, where they talk about an introducer, and they do say that an introducer is considered an intravascular catheter, so that also may be part of a central line. The next part of this really has to do with what is a bloodstream infection. And again, it's not as I guess, simple as it sounds, and we have two algorithms. One is in any patient. The other algorithm is for neonates and infants. And I guess the easiest part of this is when you have a positive blood culture from one or more blood cultures, and the organism cultured from the blood is not related to an infection at another site. So E. coli in the blood that's not related to a urinary tract infection, Staph aureus that's not related to a pneumonia, that would be considered a primary bloodstream infection. Those are easy. When it gets a little bit confusing is when you have to deal with things like coag-negative staph, bacillus species, diphtheroids, etc. And you always have to say, is this a contaminant or is this a real pathogen? And the way to look at this would be in the bottom algorithm. That number one, if a patient has fever, chills, low blood pressure, and the signs and symptoms are not related to an infection elsewhere, and you have any of these common skin contaminant organisms cultured from two or more blood cultures on separate occasions, that would be considered a bloodstream infection. If you only have one positive blood culture, so not two, but only one, and the physician begins therapy, then that would be considered a bloodstream infection. And the last thing really has to do with antigen tests on blood for things like H flu, strep pneumonia, Neisseria meningitis, or group B strep. And most of these really pertain to infections in any patient. The next page really discusses neonates. The neonates, in many respects, are a little easier because all of the signs and symptoms are objective. Apnea, temperature less than 37 degrees centigrade, or temperature greater than 38 degrees centigrade, and bradycardia, with signs and symptoms that are not felt to be due to an infection at another site, and with blood cultures in a similar way that was explained for adults. So that really is part of definition of a central line and a bloodstream infection. The other component of this is, when would you attribute the infection to your ICU, or when would you attribute it to another area? And you know, not to get into too much detail, but the artificial cutoff that the CDC uses has been 48 hours. So if somebody had a central line placed in the emergency room, went to a general medical surge unit, and then went to the ICU, was in that ICU for 3 days or 4 days, and then developed a central line associated bloodstream infection, that infection would be attributed to your ICU and not to the unit where the line was placed. If the infection developed less than 48 hours, for the most part, that would be attributed to the emergency room and not to your ICU. Similarly, if somebody is discharged from the ICU and develops a central line associated bloodstream infection, you look at the 48-hour rule, so that if they're transferred to a general medical unit with their central line and have a positive blood culture within 48 hours after discharge, that usually would be attributed to the ICU and not to the receiving unit. That's a lot to digest in a short period of time. I don't know if we want to take a break for some questions now, or
that's great. Thank you, Dr. Cole. Actually, you know, I know we went over the algorithm at the kickoff meeting, but what we found in the first phase of the collaborative is just going over these definitions at the beginning is just so important to make sure that they're standardized among all the hospitals in the collaborative. And we have Dr. Cole here who can provide some answers to some of your questions. So, operator, if you're there, if we could open it up for questions or comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key. Our first question comes from Anne from St. Vincent's Hospital. Your question, please.
Brian, I wanted to ask you, Brian, that you list in this definition, this one?
Something really bad.
Sorry. Okay. Better now?
Better now.
Better now.
We had another phone set up at another part of the room, and that's what was doing it.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you, you list IABPs, and I went over the National Health Safety Network definitions again the other day, and they define it as a device. Central line is the device through which IV fluids flow and ends up in great vessels.
Yeah, the balloon pumps that's on this algorithm is it's incorrect. That should not be on there.
Good. Thank you.
That was discussed actually during the first phase. And the reason it's not on there is because it's not an infusion device.
Okay. Good. I'll save the rest of my questions till other segments. Thank you.
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Huh. Well, why don't we just, Dr. Cole's going to stay on the line, but you might think of other things that you want to ask, and we just want to ask you now. We're going to turn it a little bit here, because I know a lot of you are probably already collecting some of this data. One thing that we noted in the first phase of the collaborative is that these data were collected. They weren't collected every month in some cases, and in this collaborative, we do need monthly data. So we want to open it up and hear from you. Number one, who collects this data at your hospital? Is it an infection control practitioner? Is it a team of people, et cetera? How often do you collect it? And are you using these data already to make improvements? And if so, how? And then the other thing, are you reporting this data to leadership? And that's actually something in the first phase of the collaborative that really did happen a lot with a lot of the hospitals, is that they were reporting it to their CEOs and to leadership across the hospital, and it was really getting the attention because of that. So, operator, if we can open it up and see if anyone can sort of share what they're doing right now, that would be great.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a comment at this time, please press the 1 key. Our first comment comes from Susanna from Parkway Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi. We just started with this initiative.
Uh-huh.
And we assigned the ICU head nurse to collect the data for us. We're very early in the planning stages of this initiative, and we have administration's backing with this, and we're very happy to report that. It's just that we're still in the planning stages of which forms we're going to use, and that's where we are right now.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So were you collecting these kind of data before this?
Yes, we were collecting this kind of data, but in actually a different way.
Uh huh.
We've changed it so that we can report it properly.
Great.
To this collaborative, and so we're just starting. Actually, we haven't gotten any data yet because we haven't had any positive cultures yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to start. We're going to start reporting in September, so that if we have any data to report.
Okay, but you will have the device-based data, the central line days.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We have those.
Okay, great. And then, so right now, are you doing anything with regard to the process measures and implementing the bundle? Or you're right at the beginning of that?
Yeah. So I've spoken to heads of departments that we are starting this, so that we have joined the collaborative, and that we are changing policy. And we've spoken to materials management. We're speaking to vendors. We're doing everything we have to do to do. So that this can be done. We're actually talking to about who has privileges to insert these central lines. We're going back to basics.
Well, this sounds like it's a really good start. And, there's a list of hospitals in the first phase of the collaborative. I'm telling everyone this now. Obviously, Dr. Cole is from one of those hospitals, Beth Israel Medical Center, and there's a list of others that are more than willing to talk to you,
yes,
all of you, as you begin this. That's a great start.
Thank you. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
We have some difficult positions.
I I've heard that a few of you have called me this week and told me that. So we completely understand, and we do sympathize, but it will get easier.
Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else in the queue?
I'm showing no further questions or comments at this time. Pardon me, I am showing another comment from Anne Marie from St. Vincent's Hospital.
Great.
You wanted to know who collects the data.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we rotate. Infection control collects the data on a current basis. We rotate our surveillance in different ICUs. Cardiac surgery is done all the time.
Okay.
The first quarter and the third quarter, MICU and the neurosurgical ICU were done. The second and the fourth quarter, surgical ICU is done. And, as I said, cardiac surgery the whole time. In looking at how you count the number of patients each day on the unit, I was wondering if that data could be extracted from a report that we get, which gives us the number of actual patient days, because that's usually what it turns out to be. Is that an acceptable way to collect that data, or do you still want the total every single day? Total at the end of the month of every single day of the number of patients on the unit.
Dr. Cole, do you think that you could describe how you all do it at Beth Israel?
We basically follow, for this project, we follow the methodology outlined in the National Healthcare Safety Network manual.
Okay.
Where basically it's every day you go and you count how many patients have a central line. They say at the same time each day, summed and totaled. I can't say we do it necessarily at the same time each day, but we usually do it in the, in the afternoon of each day. There are data, there actually was a nifty article recently, I think it was in the Shea Journal, sort of talking about some of, using either sampling or some other computer-generated reports. I would stick away from sampling because that would muddy the way the data are being collected. If you have a computer report which is 100% accurate, then that obviously makes it easier. But for us, we're not at that level, and what we do is we go up there every day and count. And we being infection control, that's how we started at the beginning. At this point, really, the nurse manager of the ICU is collecting the denominator data for us.
We extract it from a nursing report sheet at the current time.
As long as that's, you know, if you can validate that and say that represents, you know, who you need to have for patients with central lines, then I don't see why that's not appropriate.
One other question, which may be jumping ahead, but when you look at your, you talked about getting a daily report of positive blood cultures. I think it was you, I'm not sure whether it's you or Sinai, but sent to the unit.
Right, we get our micro reports, so we get.
Are you looking at preliminary results of blood cultures?
We get preliminary and final.
Okay, so when you put your team into action to determine whether or not this is a CLABS, you wait for the final?
No. No, the reason that we don't is that if we have to do a root cause analysis, you want to do it sooner rather than later. So, you know, if we get a preliminary result, say the preliminary shows that there's COAG negative staff, we'll go to the unit, we'll look at the chart, we'll get a really good idea about what the people on the floor are thinking. And if the reason that blood culture was sent because there was a concern about a central line associated bloodstream infection, we'll right then and there just use it instead of waiting, you know, another day or two.
Okay, thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a comment or a question at this time, please press the 1 key.
Hillary, maybe we could just go through the list of the hospitals who may be on the call today and just do a quick poll as to how many of them have been submitting data through the NIST system at this point and if they foresee any issues in terms of making this transition.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this. Maybe if the operator just gave us a list of who's on the call, the hospitals?
A moment, ma'am.
Just the hospitals.
We have Kingsbrook Jewish Hospital, Kingston Hospital, New York Hospital, New York Hospital in Queens, Parkway Hospital, SCEMC, Southampton Hospital, St. Barnabas Hospital, and St. Vincent's Hospital.
Okay, great. And I've talked to a lot of you this week, too. So, well, we'll try to do it that way. Just first take any volunteers to tell us if they foresee any issues in reporting the data this way, collecting the data this way, and then we'll sort of pick out some of the hospitals that were named to see if they could just give us their comments about that. So, operator, do you want to try opening it up one more time, and then I'll ask you to connect us with certain of these hospitals that you named?
One moment. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question or make a statement, please press the 1 key. We have Susanna from Parkway Hospital.
Okay.
Your line is open.
Actually, it's Patrice Fitzsimmons, Infection Control, Parkway Hospital. I had a question about the September 20th deadline. At the initial meeting we attended last month, I thought we had to submit 6 months' worth of data for the September deadline. And in the book, I see that it calls for just the month of August data.
So for the baseline data, you are correct, what you heard at the meeting. We are hoping that you can give us about 6 months worth of the baseline data, not just August data. And then after that, so for the October report, you'll just give us the month of September's worth of data.
Okay, so on the first submission, I'll say that this represents 6 months. It's not the August. Because the book makes it look like just August.
No, we apologize.
Okay, thank you.
And one other thing about that, too, we're hoping that you can give us the monthly data for those 6 months.
Right.
Six different data points, not an aggregate of the 6 months.
By the way, to your other question, we're not a NIST participator.
Okay, but are you comfortable with using these definitions?
Yes.
Okay.
We were using those type of definitions, but we, the same Dr. Shannon's presentation was very wonderful in saying how some of these definitions hid the infections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was going based on you had to have your line placed in ICU and develop your bacteremia in ICU. So if you developed your bacteremia and your line was placed elsewhere, I was making an incorrect move and saying, oh, that's not an ICU bacteremia. But we're going to move forward with the other definition, and I went back and checked the line days for this six-month time frame that I'm going to submit, and I see that the definition excluded infections, and these are the ones that we want to try to prevent.
Dr. Cole, do you care to comment at all on...
I want to make sure that I understand what you're saying, so if I'm saying something different from you, let me know. If a line is placed outside of your ICU, but the infection develops in the ICU, that is an ICU-related central line-associated bloodstream infection.
Right.
And similarly, a person may have a line placed in the ICU, but the infection doesn't develop until after they're discharged from the ICU. If that develops within 48 hours after discharge from the ICU, that is also an ICU-related central line of care.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay. And the reason you want that sort of broader definition is to, I think, do what you just said. Is these are the infections that we want to prevent.
Exactly.
So you bring up a very important point.
Now, when you get further along, what you'll end up doing is once you've figured out how to eliminate those in your ICU, then you will start to look more broadly across the hospital to see what the opportunities are to eliminate these in general. But we have, for these purposes, just asked you to start with these ICU-related infections.
Okay. Operator?
We have another follow-up from
Great.
Anne Marie from St. Vincent's Hospital.
I'm just looking at the baseline data. When we go back 6 months, we're going to have to go back into last year since we rotate. That's acceptable?
Oh, I see, because you didn't have...
We don't do 6 months in a row of surgical ICU. Or MICU.
Okay, so you're going to have a little bit...
AX surgery, but...
I will talk to Brian Taylor about that, but I think that will be fine. We had the same issue with a couple of the other hospitals in the first phase.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So, operator, is there anyone else? We're asking them if they are comfortable with these definitions to be used in the collaborative.
I'm showing Edward from St. Vincent's Hospital. Your line is open.
Hello? Oh, I think we lost him.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key. I'm showing no further questions or comments.
Hey, operator, I'm just going to pick a couple that I haven't heard from of the hospitals. Doesn't mean I'm picking on you, but I just want to make sure that the people out there are comfortable with this reporting. So if you could open up Kingsbrook Hospital's line.
One moment, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Not hearing anything.
That line is now open.
Hello?
Hello.
This Kingsbrook?
Kingsbrook, this is Mary Walzik, the infection control practitioner.
How are you doing, Mary?
Very good, thank you.
Good. So we just want to make sure that you're okay and comfortable with these definitions.
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to add while your line is open?
Basically, we started the collecting the data in June.
Uh-huh.
And can we report that in the September 20th deadline?
That, yes, so you would, is that the first month of baseline data that
Yes, it is, and we haven't implemented all of the protocol yet.
Okay, so you don't have any data before June of 06?
No, we don't.
Okay. You know what, can I talk to you about it offline?
Definitely.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And then, operator, if you could open up Kingston's line. Kingston Hospital, if they're still there.
That line is now open.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Fine. Just, we have no problems with our stuff.
Okay, so you're all good, and you have my number and email if you have any questions or need anything.
Yeah, we've got everything, and all of our data is into you already, so.
Great.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No problems.
And then finally, the only other one I want to open up here that I heard that we haven't heard from yet is New York Hospital, Queens. And I know they had a big group.
That line is now open.
Hello? Hello? Operator?
Yes, ma'am. That line is now open.
Okay.
They might be on mute.
Yeah, they might be on mute. New York Hospital, Queens, are you on mute?
All right, we'll follow them separately.
We'll go on. We'll follow up separately. The only other one, I'm not sure if they're on, operator, is St. Vincent's Medical Center Staten Island on?
I'm showing a couple from St. Vincent.
You don't know if they're Staten Island or not.
If they can go ahead and press the one key.
Okay. So Staten Island, if you're out there and you could press the one key, that would be great. We just want to hear that you're okay with these data definitions.
One moment. That line is now open.
St. Vincent, hello? Hello? I think we're experiencing technical difficulties today. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go on with the remainder of the agenda, and then we'll open it up again and see if we can hear possibly from some of the folks that haven't had an opportunity to say anything. Again, we just want to make sure you're all A-OK and comfortable with the data collection for this, since it is the way that we monitor the progress in the collaborative. So the third item on the agenda, we talk a little bit about the data collection forms, and Anne Marie from St. Vincent's brought up a good point about the first bullet here, which is about the monthly infection data. So you will be using the baseline form to report 6 months of data if you have it for the baseline period. And what we're looking for is not the aggregate of those 6 months, but we're looking for each individual data point of the 6 months. So, and that form was given to you during the August 3rd meeting, and it is on the website. If anyone has a problem in locating it, they can just give me, Hillary, a call or an email, and I can show them where it is. The second thing that we just wanted to tell you, and you know, the same day that the data is due on September 20th, your first monthly team report is due. And we call it the monthly team report to leadership form, because what we found through the collaborative was at first the team was using this form, and then they began to really share their progress, a lot of the successful hospitals in the collaborative, with their leadership, and they just pretty much gave them this form to share it. So I sent you online, we sent you a copy of this form, and we just want to go through it with you just so that you know how to fill it out. The key to this form, make it short. You don't have to provide too much detail, because we don't want you spending 4 hours writing down what's been done. I should mention here, I did not make this stuff up in the form. We actually got this information from sort of a conglomerate of the hospitals that reported to us, and we just took out sort of the best of the bunch to show you, you know, how to fill this out. So I'm just going to briefly go through it and then just take some questions from you on it if you have any. So first it asks you for your team members. That's easy enough. You just list who's part of your team. The only thing I'll say about this is we noticed as the collaborative went on, sometimes there were only three or four team members at first, and it definitely expanded, especially when the hospitals began to spread their efforts beyond the ICU. Then we ask you for monthly aims. So in this report, this team's monthly aims were to implement a central line checklist in the MICU and to be completed by members of the team. And then they also were beginning to monitor compliance with the components of the bundle using the checklist. And then their third aim for the month was to create a root cause analysis form to try to begin understanding why infections were occurring. Then we ask if you could briefly describe your PDSA cycles or your small tests of change for this particular month. So this group said that they created their checklist to ensure that patients are receiving everything compliant with the central line bundle, all their care, and then they provided in-services to staff on how to use the checklist. And then they began to monitor compliance with the bundle using the checklist. And this, I think, is the important part of this next sentence. Based on the feedback from the staff using it during insertion, we're going to modify the form slightly and reuse it. So this is just really important as you're starting. We just want to keep repeating. Small tests of change are important. If the form doesn't work right away as you're testing it, you can make modifications to it. I don't know if any of you remember during the Mount Sinai Hospital presentation at the kickoff session, they kept saying, you know, we just finished modifying our forms recently, and all the changes, it just takes a while to implement them and make those forms final. So don't get discouraged. And then this group created a draft root cause analysis form, which was modeled after Mount Sinai's form, and they began an exercise on conducting root cause analysis for positive blood cultures. So then moving along, the next question, where the team describes what they've learned from the PDSA cycles that month, they learned that it's important to make physicians aware that there will be a change in practice by monitoring processes using the checklist. So albeit the in-services on why this checklist is important. And then they also learned that the root cause analysis form is proving to be an effective way to drill down and highlight patterns of why infections are occurring. Other accomplishments this team made during the month, they started working with materials management, who's part of their team, to review elements that they would include in their centralized, customized kit that they're going to create. And they want to finalize a kit within the next month. Then we asked you to list your plans for the coming months. They said they're going to modify the checklist to monitor compliance with the elements of the bundle. They're going to continue to use the root cause analysis form to identify why infections are occurring and modify it as needed. And they're going to try to implement the kit next month. We asked if there were any permanent changes implemented, and no, this group hasn't had any permanent changes because they're just in the process of testing both the checklist and the root cause analysis sheet. We do ask you for data. So this is, and in your first report, you might not have data for us, and that's okay. Usually in the last group, they started providing us data on their process measures within the second report. So basically, this group shows this is compliance with the process measures of using of looking at all components of the central line bundle. And as you can see, they looked at weekly data from August 12th until September 16th, and the rate did go up because of those in-services and using that checklist. So the next question after that asks you to describe the changes you think are resulting in improvements. And they say once they in-service the staff in the MICU, on how to use the checklist. There was an improvement in compliance. They're going to continue to monitor compliance. They even have a goal to reach close to 100% with all elements of the bundle over the next 2 months. So finally, there's this team self-assessment score. We did not make this up. We adopted this from IHI. And this team, you'll see it's the last page. This team was at 3, which is modest improvement. They have initial test cycle changes. And there has been a little bit of improvement. One thing I will say about this team assessment scale, the teams that provided this to us in the monthly report, it's just fantastic to see that all of them started at probably about 1.5 on the scale, which is planning for the project, kind of like what Parkway was saying. And then, you know, they gave us their report and progressively, and you just keep seeing this go up. And there, most of the teams now, a good portion of them, are at that 4.5 or 5.0, which is sustainable improvement and outstanding results. So it's just a great way to measure your progress and share your progress with your leadership. So the only other thing on this report that I'd want to share, we put together a PDSA cycle and really how you can go through that. You do not have to give that to us every month. We realize that's labor intensive, but we just wanted to give you a guide on how you can really use this sheet to try to accomplish your goals through your PDSA tests of change. So with that, I'm going to open it up and see if anyone has any comments or concerns about this report or getting it to us by September 20th, and then we'll go on to the website, and then we can wrap it up. So, operator, if we could open it up again.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key. Our first question or comment comes from Anne Marie from St. Vincent's Hospital. Your line is open.
This is actually Cynthia from St. Vincent's. I actually have a question in reference to the collection of the number of days for the central line. If we are counting patients that have moved to the floor and infections for the first within the first 48 hours, do we count the days that they're on the floor as well or just in the ICU?
Dr. Cole, do you think you could help out with that question?
Just in the ICU.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment, please press the 1 key. I'm showing no questions or comments at this time.
Okay, well, I just want to keep repeating that if anyone has any questions about the data or about what to report or about the definitions, do not hesitate to contact any one of us. If we don't know the answer, we'll find out from Dr. Cole. A couple other things, and then we'll open it up one more time. We did send you an email letting you know that you all are logged on to the Jenny website now. So you all have usernames and passwords. Your username is your first initial of your first name and your full last name, all one word. And your password is CLABS, C-L-A-B-S, lowercase letters. I know some of you are using it, which is great, because I had a couple calls. Some of you had problems logging in, but I think they're pretty much all resolved now. There's a wealth of information on it, on the website. I heard a couple of you saying that you saw Dr. Shannon's presentation, which is fantastic. It's a great way to introduce your team to the collaborative if they weren't able to go to the learning session. We just put all the presentations from your kickoff meeting, including Dr. Cole's and Mount Sinai's, on the website, as well as some pictures, some photos from the session. So that's up there now. And when we send you another email, we'll send you a link to that. So that is pretty much all that we had. Rachel, am I missing anything?
No, I don't think so. One other thing on the monthly reports. I think that you made this clear But just to reiterate, that what Hillary provided to you in terms of the example was sort of a composite from some different hospitals who participated in the first version of this collaborative the first year. These are things that you need to come up with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have on the Jenny website, if you have any problems at all of trying to figure out where to get started, are many examples, and we could provide you with others in terms of what people did as part of this PDSA cycle process. When we started the first year of the collaborative, I think a number of people weren't really clear about why this PDSA thing was necessary. They thought that they were just going to go in, well, we've got our bundle, let's just go and do it. And what I think we eventually persuaded folks over time is that if your environment is such that you can do that without pushback and disruptions and so forth and so on, then that's just terrific, and if you can sustain it, all the better. But most places, it doesn't work that way. You have to get buy-in from someone, whether it's your physician in charge, your nurse in charge, or what have you. And oftentimes, there are real-life workflow, work design issues that need to be changed, need to be addressed in order to do this effectively. This does require changes, and a lot of places run into resistance from different quarters about those kinds of changes. So this PDSA cycle is a very valuable tool as a way to make the change process a little bit easier, to make it a little bit less frightening for people who may not be as comfortable with this as you guys probably are. Again, we just encourage you to either reach out to us or to look at the website if you are searching for some examples of how hospitals in the first year of this used the PDSA cycle in particular to help to identify, for example, using one of the daily goal sheets and trying it with one nurse on one shift and then getting some feedback from that process before you go ahead and expand that to other nurses and other shifts. Again, most places found that those kinds of gradual introductions of change made the process work more smoothly, it helped get more buy-in, and they were actually able to really get better compliance, even though it took a little while to go through the testing process. So we encourage you to take advantage of this methodology. It is one that's been very well tested in a number of different improvement areas. Again, if you have any questions as you get into it, not just in terms of how to fill out the form, but how to actually do the PDSA cycle itself, we'd be happy to help you and link you up with folks who have experience doing these in some of the other hospitals from the first year of CLABS.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rachel. And actually, that mentor hospital list that we showed you and gave you with the nine hospitals, if you want to give us a call or an email to find out what the strengths are of those hospitals, we can certainly do that. You know, and most of those, all of those on the list really did use the model for improvement and this whole small test of change way of doing things. Before we open it up one more time and before we close, we just want to ask you about what kinds of things you want on future conference calls. We're going to continue the data collection discussion because no doubt some questions will come up. In the learning session that we had on August 3rd, we gave you a list of all of the conference calls that we had in the first phase of the CLABS Collaborative. So there are certain things that we had, for instance, the nursing experience in reducing CLABS. I know you heard a little bit about that from Maxine Shepherd at the session on the 3rd. We had someone from HHC at the beginning really talk about how to use the model for improvement to reduce central line infections. So I just want to open it up one more time, get any additional comments from people. If you have a chance to look at that and let us know what you think looks good on that, we can certainly approach some of those past speakers and see if they'll come on again. So, operator, with that, if we could just open it up one more time before we close.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key. Our first question or comment comes from Anne Marie from St. Vincent's Hospital. Your line
here.
Is open.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to clarify what forms we have to send in to you, what reports.
Uh-huh.
We send the monthly data of positive bloodstream infections.
Yep.
The monthly team reporting form.
So, the monthly team report, the one that has all the dates on it that we sent you the example of?
Yes.
That one. And that's it.
And none of the other, the team checkup or the report to leadership?
Okay. Well, the report to leadership, that's the monthly team report. Actually, I should tell you, in the first phase of the collaborative, we had two separate forms.
Okay.
And we streamlined it to one because it was getting confusing for the participants. So just the ones that were included in your book during the session, the data collection form and the form that says monthly team report to leadership template. Okay?
Okay.
The checkup forms are for you to use. They really do help, but you don't need to submit them.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key. I'm showing no further questions or comments.
Hey, Rachel, is there anything else?
No, just to thank folks for joining us for the call today. Hopefully the lack of questions means that everything is just crystal clear, and we know, you all know exactly what you need to do to get started, and again, we're here to support you. Hillary, if you could just recap for us what is the date for our next call?
Yep. The next call is on September 13th at 2 p.m., and we'll give you information about that call well before that time. And with that, thanks so much, everyone. You have our contact information if anything comes up now, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thanks, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may all disconnect. Thank you and have a good day.